Let me tell you what styling is. The perfect session. A-frame wave, ground swell, spitting out salt water in your face, doing a 360 without a bounce. I call it the consciousness razor.
Mitchell's life was a California dream. Until he woke up in Cincinnati.
What do you think? It's wild, right?
We're just so excited about having you here. Slow down a little bit, Wiley. Hands on 10 and 2.
His cousin wants him to meet his friends.
You. Where do I know you from?
You used to flush my head in the urinals.
They're an interesting bunch.
I could be Elvis. It's possible.
I really like to sleep, and I like Nintendo.
They all want Mitchell to feel right at home. And if it wasn't for Nikki...
How are you?
You must be getting pretty homesick, huh?
Not right now.
He'd have no reason to stay.
Man, I'm gonna throw up.
For the next 6 months, his days of sun, sand, and surf have been put on ice.
School.
In a city where no one understands him.
I need traffic, smog, heat waves.
Who would have thought he'd become a hero by doing what he does best?
He's been challenged by the preps to a little skating race. We thought maybe you'd, you know, want to skate on our team.
No. He has one chance to prove himself. One final race to win. And he's the one who has what it takes to put them over the top. Airborne.
I think I'm starting to like Cincinnati.
Welcome back, everybody, to Jeff versus the World presents Bad Meaning Bad or Bad Meaning Good. It's been a long time. I'm taking over this month, and as you can hear, we are here to do 1993's Airborne, but I'm not alone on this ride. I got my man Jay here. What's going on?
Going on. Here to talk about this skate movie from the early
question.
90s. Yes.
Is this a cult classic?
I want to say yes.
That's what I want to say too. But I don't. It's like, man, I don't know how to word it. It feels like it's a cult classic, but maybe it's not. Maybe it's almost a cult classic.
That's why I say I want to say it's a cult classic, but it might fall into that if you know category of movies where it might not necessarily be a cult status because, I mean, we love movies and we, as much as we do podcasts, we listen to other podcasts.
Right.
I've never heard anybody that I listen to as far as podcasts do this movie. Even when they talk about movies from the 90s, you know, teen movies and stuff, this movie never gets brought up by anybody that I listen to.
One time I heard it on How Did This Get Made? And they were like riffing on the movie, but saying, you know, the movie's enjoyable. So it's just like, I think we are right. I think this was almost a cult classic. I don't think it's a cult classic, but initially one time on Twitter when I brought this up, it had a rapid response from people like, oh, I ain't seen that movie in a long time. I like that movie, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. So there's an audience out there that enjoys this movie. And it's a guilty pleasure for me, personally.
Same.
I think the number one thing about this movie for me is I think the MVP, I know it's kind of early for me to say this, but I just want to get it out the way. I think South Green is the MVP.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I can see that.
For the simple fact of, I don't know, the role that he had, I don't want to say it was easy. He just made it look easy. Because, you know, Seth Green kind of found this lane, you know, with Buffy, you know, anything that he ever really was involved in, it seemed like he fit. I never see him like, oh, no, Seth Green, why are you in this? But this one was 93, and you can tell himself and, yes, ladies and gentlemen, Jack Black, they were hungry. Because, I mean, whenever you saw them on camera, they were chewing up scenery.
I mean, look, this is the movie that features Jack Black, Seth Green, and Jacob Vargas. Like, what world? Like, what other world would that even happen in?
Okay, wait a minute. Why am I not familiar with Jacob Vargas? Other movies, I guess what I'm saying. Let me think. Well, what's it? What has he been in that I may be seeing?
I mean, he might be most famous for, depending on the type of movies you watch, he might be most famous for playing Joker in Next Friday.
Oh, and, shit.
Yes.
We talking about also, Snake. That's Snake, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I didn't even realize that.
And he was Benicio Del Toro's partner in Traffic.
Wow.
Yeah, but he's been in a lot of stuff too. So it's like those three actors probably had, like, they went on to have very successful careers, very different careers, but very successful in their own right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So seeing them here, like, in the early stages, because going back to Seth Green for a second, like, this is a few years after the original It, which he was in. And then this is a few years before, like you said, Buffy. Also a few years before Austin Powers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is like right before he became a household name.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, you and I have had conversations about Jack Black, you know, like how his early career is kind of like all over the place.
I have a clip for the fans. Just bear with us and listen to this shit.
One of Al Pacino's love slave.
Yeah. Jose Augusto Rafael de la Parra. Everyone just calls me Augie, though.
Hey, I'm going to let y'all know something. I'm going to play it again.
One of Al Pacino's love slave.
Yeah.
Jose Augusto Rafael de la Parra. Everyone just calls me Augie, though.
That's a white man. And he had a tendency in some of his films where he didn't play a white man for whatever reason. And yes, you did hear, I want to say 17-year-old child say she wanted to be Al Pacino's love slave.
Yes.
Listen. Okay. 1983. I think that's around Sin of a Woman. I think.
Yes.
Why would a child say something like that? Was Al Pacino an old teen beaten? I just didn't know about it.
Look, your guess is as good as mine on that one.
That was really random and whatever. But yeah, Jack Black had a weird tendency and the weird times to do. I mean, I guess he's looking for work. You know, who am I to judge? But he's not Mexican. He's not Hispanic.
I'm like, maybe him and Jacob Vargas should have switched roles, maybe.
Maybe. That. Now, see, yeah, maybe. Maybe that would have worked out a little bit better. All right.
Yeah.
So, meat of the story. We're not going to go through the whole movie, but basically, we're not going to skip this. Shane McDermott, the lead of the movie. The lead. Mitchell Goosen. Hell of a name. I don't know if they thought it was going to be a household name or what. He got this role because he was really good at rollerblading or skating, whatever you want to call it. I just find it. He definitely has a presence. That's one good thing I'll say. The camera loves him. Now, the acting, maybe a little hit or miss. I don't know, for me anyway. I some scenes I bought it. When he get angry, I could give two left testicles. I was like, is he supposed to be angry? Because it's not coming off as some anger. It's like he was just reading. You know, it felt like he was just kind of like reading the script, remembering the line and just saying it. I don't know. You know how I feel about this. I don't really judge a person's acting, but I mean, for this movie, for what it was, for, you know, to be practically a teenager's movie, I guess it was fine. Like, they won't know, you know, Oscars coming out of this movie.
No, I mean, I feel like he's good in the role that he was asked to play.
He was serviceable. Give him that. I give him that. Yeah. I feel like he definitely was in that lane where Buddy from Sidekicks.
Oh, Jonathan Brandis.
Yes, I felt like that's where they wanted him to be, but you know,
maybe who's to say? Maybe they wanted to get Jonathan, but because Jonathan was doing, I think, Sequest around that time,
Are we sure it was Sidekicks?
Okay, well, when did Sidekicks come out? They come out around this time.
I'm looking it up right now.
Because I know Sequest was on around this time. Yes, I used to watch Sequest. For anybody who probably like, what the hell is Sequest? Look it up.
Oh, my goodness. Sidekicks was in 92.
Oh, so it was a year before this.
Yeah, so maybe they did try to.
Oh. Well, I say, maybe he was tied up with Sequest because, you know, I forgot exactly. I think they were. Where were they filming that at? I almost want to say Hawaii or something like that. Yeah, you know how. Because. When they film like in Hawaii and stuff, it'd be hard for them to, you know, come back and do shows like here on the, you know, on the continent and everything. So
yeah,
I don't know, but he did have that like Jonathan Brandis type vibe.
So yeah, he definitely did. You know, I don't know. I think Brandis probably had a little. I don't know. He was a little more charming, maybe a little more to me.
Yeah,
but that's just me. But we're going to get into the movie, the plot, I guess. So basically, Mitchell Goosen comes home one day, and his zoologist folks are like, yo, we're going to Australia, but you ain't coming with us. Damn. What? Right? You going to chill out.
I'm not going to Australia.
Like, you going basically to chill out with your cousin for you know, for the school semester. And basically, he ended up going to Cincinnati, and it goes just like you expect—a California kid who likes to surf, skate, all that shit. You know, is going to a place where he can't surf, and it was really weird how they painted it because it all looks at the movie in the beginning is this is a surfing movie. That's what I felt like anyway, but then it changed to. Rollerblading, then went to hockey, then went back to rollerblade. And I felt like, you know what? Nobody could make a concrete, yo, it's going to be a rollerblading movie. You know, I felt like they were fighting it for whatever reason. I don't know. I mean, because you could have still picked one thing and been like, oh, this, you know, this California kid is into a lot of things, but they were trying to cram a lot into this. But it's a rollerblading movie at the end of the day. The surfing stuff was just weird because I didn't get because even they go back to it. I think like in the second act where he's like having that vision,
yes.
And I'm like, why are they going back to the surfing thing when we're never going to see him surf? It was just weird. But anyway, he comes to Cincinnati and all the dudes just hating on him for whatever reason. I'm sure, you know, some of the girlfriends are looking at him. He's California. He's different from what they always see. Picked up a girl books and you would have thought he wrote the Declaration of Independence. Or even he was, you would have thought he was Oppenheimer the way he did it. Oh, a real gentleman. I'm like, damn, don't I pick up shit for you? So basically.
In that class.
Yeah, well, yeah. He's basically the odd man out. Nobody likes him. His cousin, Seth Green, is basically telling him, yo, man, you know, you got to chill out because your vibe just ain't working. The things that you do, who you know, basically being you is not working. But he can't help himself. He's going to be who he is for what, you know, good or bad. He befriends Nikki. And, you know, it's a girl. Did she go to his school? Did she go to? Yeah, she went to the school. But basically she goes to the school and come to find out. His most hated enemy, Jack, who Jack has a vision of throwing him out the window, was wild. I was like, wait a minute. Wait a minute. This movie like took a wrong turn. Like he envisioned throwing him out the window. And I was just like, whoa, that was intense. Yeah, but Nikki's brother is Jack. And he does not like him messing with Mitchell Goosen. He think Mitchell Goosen is weird, a chump, whatever, whatever. They just keep picking on him, keep picking on him. And he kind of, yeah, they were doing some livid shit. We'll get to that shit. But they were just like, everybody's basically like, yo, stand up for yourself. And then finally when he does with her ex-boyfriend at a restaurant where they're eating burgers with peanut butter on it. Some, I heard it's a Cincinnati thing, so I'm not going to judge it. It is what it is, but yeah, that's like a Cincinnati treat. But anyway, you know, once he finally stands up for himself and shows that he has a backbone, it's kind of like everybody taking to him a little bit more. And then, you know, basically they're going to have this race where, what's the name of the hill they were going down?
Oh, my God.
I forgot the name of the hill, but I mean, like we talked about, there's no way in hell that race would have happened in real life. No way.
Yeah, and then, like, oh, I forgot. Hockey all of a sudden is in this. All of a sudden, they have a hockey game. Like, wait, what is this movie supposed to be about? Why could you just pick one sports thing? It was like,
they have two hockey games. They have one, yes, on the ice, and they have one off on the street.
Yeah, I was like, all right, you playing street hockey, ice hockey. It was like, maybe, okay, you know what? Now that I think about it, maybe around that time, this was probably either in the middle or tail end where ESPN was big on the BMX, rollerblading, all that shit. You know what I mean? They used to show all that shit.
Yeah, well, the thing is, one of the big things about this movie, too, matter of fact, a lot of the dudes that show up as the skaters, especially for that race, were part of like this rollerblade team. and the one guy that during the race, the one that was like neck and neck with Seth Green that kept like falling and all that stuff, he's an actual like ex-gamer. So they just had him and his rollerblade team in the movie, I guess, to help them out as far as, you know, having real skaters doing the madman race and everything. So, they was like trying to, I guess, hype up the X Games, because that was around the time when X Games first became a thing.
That makes more sense now. And it just hit me when I was like, wait a minute, don't say ESPN like big into that around 93? And Devil's Backbone. That's what damn route or race. It felt like they were just going all the way through Cincinnati, because
pretty much
that fucking third act, final act, is just too long. That race is too fucking long. It's insane. And why is this movie called Airborne?
Because Mitch got to do some airborne stuff. Because he got to jump off of shit, I guess. I don't know.
Because he did that one thing that nobody saw. That one jump at the end that nobody saw but him. And it was just like,
well, him and the construction workers.
Man, they were probably about to kick his ass. Get the fuck out of here. Motherfucker, we working.
But real quick, because this just came to me. So his name is Mitchell Goosen. Right? What is Tom Cruise's name in Top Gun?
Maverick.
What's his real name?
Shit. Mitchell. What is it? I can't.
Mitchell.
Mitchell.
What's Anthony Edwards' code name?
Goose.
All right, there you go.
Oh, I'm sure he was I always thought that when I heard Goosen, because I was like, who the fuck last name is Goosen? Why are we doing this?
His name.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Did they do that?
They got too much shit going on in this movie, seriously.
They do.
And seriously, because it opens up with him and his homie. And that was weird, like, you got a homeboy, and it's just like, all right, he out. The cold open is him and his homie doing everything they do in California, skate, surf, and singing some Beach Boy songs at the end. I was like, I guess, whatever. But how did you feel about the romance of Nikki and Mitchell? I felt like they were a couple. I did.
Yes. So I had to look up people ages You know, ever since we did Blown Away, right? Whenever we do these type of movies, I have to look up people real ages. So Shane McDermott in real life at the time when this movie came out, he was 17. The girl that plays Nikki was actually 21.
Oh, wow. All
right. Good old Jack, that man was like 26. And when I looked him up, he actually is the Johnny Cage we don't talk about, because he's Johnny Cage at the beginning of Annihilation.
Excuse me, what?
Yes.
What did you just tell me?
Chris Conrad played the not Lyndon Ashby version of Johnny Cage at the beginning of Mortal Kombat Annihilation. He the one that Shere Khan.
You know what? I wish you wouldn't have told me that. Yeah, I feel like I got to go watch Annihilation just to see that shit.
Oh, hell, don't do that. I mean, you can just look that clip up on YouTube. You ain't got to watch the whole. But yeah, but they did. They actually felt like a couple, though. And what's crazy about it is that before Nikki really comes into the scene, them girls in that classroom, the one girl that's supposed to be Jack's girlfriend and her friend and everything, how they was like in a blender over
Mitchell. Yeah, they were about to give Mitchell all the business.
Right. And it's like at the hockey game, how they over on the side and they like giving him the googly eye, waving at him and everything. Mm-hmm. But once Nikki comes into frame, they just kicked them out of the movie. You know,
oh yeah, it was really weird. It was like, you gave them a lot and then just like, that's it. Y'all done. Thanks. Yeah. It almost felt like they probably had a day on set. Oh, thanks, girls. I guess the check clear, so fuck it.
Yeah, we got our lead actress now, so we don't need y'all no more.
I'm almost sure, if I had to guess, one of them was supposed to be Nikki, and this young lady read better. I'll put money on it. She read better, and they were like, oh, you know, we're going to go with her with Nikki, but we can still got a role for you. You know what I mean? Like, we still got a role for you. Don't worry.
Because the fact that, okay, in the beginning, it's all about, okay, the one girl supposed to be Jack's girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where we going. Then you do this 180 to where, oh, now you got Jack's sister.
Because in every early 80s, early 90s, even to 2000 movie, if that was the setup, it was going to continue on. You know what I mean? It was going to continue on the movie, him or them hooking up or liking each other or whatever. They just X'd her out. I'm telling you, it had to be that the other girl read better. What's her name? I think Brittany Powell. She read better, and she was like, you know what? We're going to make her Nikki, but we still got a place for you. Don't worry. Don't worry. We got you.
Yeah, just got y'all at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Y'all never seen or heard from ever again.
Because damn, more than I think about it, that don't make sense. You set it up like she was going, Jack's girlfriend was going to go to Mitchell. You set it up to the point of him even envisioning this, throwing this man out the window. And then it was just like, oh, no, that's all right. We ain't going to go there. Yeah, it's like I said, like when you watch the movie now, it's little things that you see that kind of like, I guess you just kind of go with it. But, you know, for us who watch movies and know certain, you know, tropes, that trope for some reason didn't hit. But I mean, like I said, they seem like a couple. And oh, my God, Seth Green and the girl that he ended up hooking up with.
Gloria.
Yes. But I like the way it was played, because she was like, ew. And then it was like, no, he's nice. You know what I mean? It was more like, you know, she know he's kind of
murdered for me.
Yeah. Like, he's nice and he's cool. He's cool in his own way, because he's definitely not as cool as he was letting Mitchell on. Even to the point of, I think as a viewer, you start to see like, oh no, he's really corny, because that montage of him trying on clothes, I was like, why would you even have all these different clothes?
Right?
Like, you seem like you're grunge-ish dressing. Why would you have hip-hop clothes? just the abundance of outfits you have, the variety of outfits you have. Why? How? It was. I think that was just a thing to, you know, get the audience to laugh or whatever.
When I saw him in them hip hop clothes, first thing I thought about, I was like, oh, so this is like the precursor to him and Can't Hardly Wait. I was like, all right, I see where they go.
He was getting his practice in. Damn, why you messing up my flavor?
Oh, God. And then he get the girl in the same way in that, too.
Pretty much, but she was like, be yourself. Like, yeah. He couldn't help himself, though. He couldn't help himself.
Trapped in that damn bathroom, but.
Yeah, but I love Can't Hardly Wait. That is another guilty pleasure. But Airborne is just like, it's filled with. I would like to know how this movie tested.
I'm pretty sure some of the stuff, like, okay, because the whole thing, okay, we talked about the whole thing with Nikki basically Xing out the girlfriend and her best friend, right? Who's to say that didn't test a certain way? And then this whole thing with Snake, where he like this damn, he probably like the thug of the school, but then, oh, he can actually skate. He can play hockey. What?
He really, okay. That, my biggest pet peeve. It felt like Jack and Snake were one character. Did they split up?
I can see that.
Cause it didn't make sense. Cause like when you first see Snake, it's like, oh man, he fucking stabbing people, carving them up and shit. It's like, oh, okay, he's the big bully. But it's like, no, Jack is the bully. It feels like it was one character, and for whatever reason, they split them up.
Yeah, but like it's weird, like how they like. This dude is supposed to be so tough and everything. Like you say, walking around, who say he ain't got a damn pocket knife or something, just, ready to stab somebody and then every turn, they all of a sudden, hey, Snake, you coming in and playing a word? Oh, he can actually play hockey. What? And then he's like one of the best
skaters. Yeah, because I think, well, wasn't he the first one to finish the race? Yeah, he was the first person.
He was part of that trio at the in the league.
Yeah, because he was first, and then Jack and Mitchell pulled up because they're first three. My whole thing was during that race, the ending race, we already established it. It should have been a couple of dead bodies because
good Lord, yes.
Some of that shit was insane, but why would some people fail? They didn't get back up. Did you notice that?
Could he die?
You could clearly get back up and keep going, but it was like, I'm out. I'm done. I'm tired.
Well, I don't know about, well, Buddy that got pitting up on the car, he might have broke something. So so he probably would get up.
Well, it's true, but I remember seeing like two or three people slide, and they just kind of like just stayed down. I'm like, get your ass up.
Jack Black, he might as well have been dead if he did a damn tumble into the damn tree balls first, and he was done.
Oh man, the way they shot Jack Black, he was like, oh yeah, you could tell he can't skate because they made sure to shoot it. Yo, well, I don't even think it was his waist. It was just like kind of like his face just making faces.
That's it.
Yeah.
Let's get this stunt double in here. Have him do this flip down this hill. Jack, you do the last little bit. That's it. All right, you out.
Yeah, I'm just so like, I want to pinpoint maybe one more thing about this movie. How did you feel about Wally's parents? Did you feel like they were too old?
Yeah, but at the same time, if you notice, that actress and that actor, it's like whenever they needed like offbeat.
Yes, yes, yes. It's kooky, kooky parents. Yes, yes. You absolutely right.
They were always in them roles, whether it was in movies or TV shows. It was like,
oh yeah, they found their lane and milked it.
Yeah. And it's just like, yeah, I guess we can kind of understand why Wiley was the way he was, even though his mama was kind of putting him on blast. Like they were driving from the airport, like, oh, he's never been with a girl. And I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
like,
chill out, man. Like, yeah, I gotta, come on, it's my cousin. I don't know what he'd be doing. You making me look crazy out here.
Like, relax. And then got him driving, but then telling him about keep his hands 10 and 2 on the road. Like, why didn't you just drive? Are you backseat driver?
All right, then the picking on Mitchell and Wally was insane.
Yes.
That shit was insane. First of all, Mitchell Goosen a nasty motherfucker. Because even though they wet that paper towel, even though they had wet the toilet tissue, this motherfucker decided just to pull up his pants and just keep moving. Like, and nah, bro. I'll tell you, I'm like, you know what? Fuck y'all. I'm still going to use this shit.
Man, I would have went over to. I know they had to have some ham towels in there or something.
Hey, you was about to say, nah, you go ahead and say, I would have went to the girls' bathroom. Fuck it. Yeah, I need some paper towels.
Hey, man, I got to look. I don't care.
It is what it is.
Funky as hell, walking around.
Yeah, he just walking around doing that ugly ass walk. I'm like, yo, what else did they do to them? The chairs when they had set it up.
Broke the chairs.
I'm like, come on, bro. And eventually, you just got to fight. Eventually, we just got to fight.
He never wanted to fight, and it's like, they ain't know how to take that.
Hey, man, I can give two testicles, two left testicles. I was like, what does that even mean? That just sound weird.
Well, I guess.
Blaine. Blaine, I'll tell you something. Blaine absolutely read for Mitchell. He absolutely read for the Mitchell role. I'll put $100 on that.
He probably did. Hell, Chris Conrad probably read for the Mitchell role too. No, you're gonna be Jack.
I'm sure. A lot of these kids. I wouldn't be surprised if you told me Jack Black and Seth Green read for Mitchell. But I don't know. Maybe not Seth Green.
You know what? Actually, I could have seen Seth Green read for Mitchell.
You could?
I could have seen it. Not Jack Black, though. Jack, hell no. Jack.
I think Seth, he got some. Yeah, I don't think so, no. Because he has a charming awkwardness to himself that wouldn't play off as, oh, this the coolest man in the room. Cause that's basically what it was. Mitchell was like the coolest dude in the room, but being that those guys from Cincinnati, they're like, oh, nah, we don't know nobody from California. This stuff is weird. He put up a peace sign. They got mad. All right, relax, Oppenheimers. What y'all fucking getting mad for?
He was like, what does that even mean?
Oh, man, I can't believe he put up a peace sign. Fuck that shit.
Like, what?
Yeah, and he kept calling the bra. Why does he keep calling you under woman garments? I'm like, all right, I guess. I'm sure these kids watch movies and that lingo, they maybe don't say it in Cincinnati, but you know exactly what he's saying to you.
Exactly. I mean, around that time, Saved by the Bell was a thing. Like a big thing around that time that's supposed to be taking place in California. You got all them John Hughes movies that came out. And it's like, come on now. Like,
because Jack Black, brah. He said it again. There he's doing it again. Like, I get it, but I don't get it. I understand, you know, he's out of his element, but his element isn't so weird that you don't understand what he's saying. You may not agree with some of the stuff he be saying, like when he was like, what, just want some waves and whatever he said in that class, speech class stuff.
Yeah, they couldn't relate to that because shit, they in Cincinnati. There ain't no damn ocean.
Nah, it's just cold. It's cold as a bitch out there, boy. You see the way that man get off that airplane? Oh, my God. Speaking of that, this man was just out there standing. They came and brought him a surfboard. Ain't no way that's happening in 2023.
Hell no.
You imagine Aegis Elba? Hey, you can do it. I'm not going to do it. Get my surfboard.
Yeah, all right. Broke. But no way, like, they wouldn't even let him put it on the plane.
They wouldn't even let him stand out there like that. Man, you need to get the fuck up out of here.
Yeah, like, what are you doing, kid? Like, you better go wait over there at the terminal.
But it was some nice cinematography as far as, like, especially some of the roller skating scenes. I don't know if they were really in Cincinnati or not, but they shot some scenes pretty well.
And see, okay, that's the thing. I feel like they wasn't in Cincinnati.
They were in Toronto.
I
feel like they was.
I'm
looking. I'm trying to find it too. They had to be. I bet you they were in Toronto. You know that's what they do, or for the cheat.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, wait a minute. I mean, they filmed some stuff in Cincinnati.
Oh, they did? Oh shit. Okay.
They filmed stuff in California, but I want to know where that race was. Got even filmed in Kentucky.
Oh, wow. This movie, they spent $2.6 million. They only made $2.9 million. Shit. I guess you made it. You made something. Fuck it.
But the crazy thing about it is, I don't think this movie, I think it got lost in time. I don't think there was ever a DVD release.
It, you know, shockingly, I believe it was. Hold on. Let me make sure. Because I remember somebody used to always tell me, oh, I got that.
They might have had it on VHS, but I don't think it got on DVD.
I'm about to find out.
Because, yeah, that's kind of crazy that this movie only made.
Oh, okay. Somebody making their makeshift DVDs. You might be right. It was like a product of VHS.
Yeah, I think it got lost in time because of course I didn't see this at the movie. I saw it on TV.
Oh, me too. I saw it on on Fox, I believe.
Yeah, every time I saw it, it was on TV. So like I said, I always feel like it was one of the movies that kind of got lost in time. And
now I don't know. I don't know how this says Archive Warner Brothers Collection DVD. Now, I don't know if.
They probably converted it.
Baby.
They probably did their VHS DVD converter nonsense. Just to try to keep it, you know, at least with a more of a current format. Because, I mean, a lot of movies, they got lost in time when they started.
Oh, nah, bro. They selling this. At, I'm on Walmart right now, $15.99.
For DVD?
Yep. They did have no DVD. Oh shit. Ugh.
Good lord.
That's wild.
I mean, I would own it. I would.
I think it's only $15.99 because it's one of those ones that never transitioned it to Blu-ray. It's just, I guess it's just out there. If you want it, you can get it, but we ain't pushing for this shit.
And then you can rent or buy it on YouTube.
Yeah. I remember for a while, I don't understand why they would never come on Vudu, because I always say if it ever came on Vudu, I would buy it, but they never.
And it was on it was streaming on Amazon for a minute, but now it's not at all.
How it ain't on Apple? I'm like, yo, how y'all ain't selling this for at least to stream?
They probably said, man, we ain't with that shit.
You know, but it's some nasty business right now. So, you know, I know how these actors probably fed up. So, I don't even want to get into that. That's a whole different subject right there. Yeah. But seeing some of them residual checks, bro, I know it's changing the subject. I know y'all, you know, tune in here, Airborne, but seeing some of them checks is like, fuck are y'all doing, Hollywood? Seriously. Fuck are y'all doing? 3 cents? I'm seeing 3 cents check. I saw a $13. I'm like, a $13 one. It was from a Netflix show. Somebody on the net. I can't remember which show, but it was one of the biggest Netflix shows when it came out. And their residual is $13. What?
Madness. They want to keep all the money in their pockets, but the people who actually are the reason why the stuff is a success. Y'all ain't worth it.
Yeah, that's. That, we say this a lot, but that's some nasty business right there.
It is. And then the whole thing about, oh, yeah, we scanning y'all for a few, like, we don't even have to use you. We can just digitally insert you into something and you don't get nothing even for that. It's like, huh? But that's me. That's my likeness. Like, what are y'all doing?
You know what? They're going to get what they deserved in the end, because I hope that the actors stick to their guns, because in the end it's gonna hurt their pockets finally and they can feel. But you know, I know motherfuckers gotta eat, like, really seriously. So I don't know what's gonna happen. I just hope it lands on the actor's side. I hope they get what they deserve, because nobody on a hit show from fucking Orange Is New Black should be getting, you know what I mean, less.
Yeah. Yeah.
They should be seeing a lot of money, because that was a big ass show. That
show was one of the reasons why you got all those subscribers to Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Like,
that was one of the shows. That, Stranger Things, like, like that's the reason why people say, "Oh, let me sign up for this streaming service."
Right? Y'all jacking up the price. Motherfuckers behind the suits who don't act getting paid, but the actors who put in the work ain't getting shit. Yeah. Yeah, Hollywood on some bullshit these days, but whatever. Back to Airborne. Yeah. I think the film is just, like I said, I think we talking about, well, man, I know we was talking about Seth Green and his boo in the movie. What's her name again? Gloria? Gloria? Did you notice the bathroom scene where he was showering? And for, I don't know if you caught it, he had wrote her name in soap on the wall. I was like,
that man was in love.
I was like, but I don't even think they had met. I think he just told him her name. And I'm like, wow, are you working it out by her name in that bathroom? Why would you just write her name? Like, it's some nasty. I'm like, bro, chill out, yeah.
When she first saw him, that shit was funny. We knocked on that door. She came to them. I'm like, what the fuck?
Did you see the way he was looking? He looked at her. No. Like, yeah, like, bro, get it together. Like, you supposed to be the coolest man in town, but you just fucking it up right now.
He couldn't wait for Mitchell Herbert. Get, man, Mitchell Herbert, get your ass up there. I don't know what to say.
This motherfucker drove and went backwards. I'm like, shit. And they hit somebody's car and the alarm went off. They drove off. Man, yeah. Let that have been my car.
This man is out there with a learner's permit. Like,
right? Did they ever officially say he got his license?
No, because even I call them the Drake twins because they look like Drake from Degrassi.
You stupid too. I know exactly what you're talking about.
When they tried to run him off the road when he was doing his driving test, he do that damn Jason Statham transporter spin with the instructor. It's like pretty cool, huh?
Dude, like nah, fuck? Some of them boys need to be locked up. Like they could have killed Seth Green and the instructor. Seriously, they could have killed them.
And then during the race, why them dudes were trying to murder Mitch? Like they were really trying to murder this man.
Oh, you talking about the last race in the race? Yeah, yes, they were trying to take him out. Yeah, Blaine and the crew, man, they won't fucking around with Mitch.
Man, they were filthy. You thought Jack was bad, but yeah, Blaine was still hurt because he pulled the man's pants down.
Right, that man was furious. He couldn't even get his shit together. Get off!
Motor cars!
Just like, what the fuck? I mean, Mitchell was nasty. Let me see. You know what, man? I don't give a shit about anybody. Well, he ain't said give a shit, but I don't care about anybody in this town. They're going to say this around a girl that you dating and liking. And you think it's going to be okay. Let me explain. Nah, you said what you wanted to say. She forgave him too easy. She forgave him too easy.
I mean, I guess they had. It's like, okay, why even introduce that if you're going to have. It's like basically the next scene they back together. It's like,
yeah, once he do the pants thing, when he pulls his pants down, she all laughing. Ah, yeah, we like each other again. I'm just like,
yeah. And Jack standing over there like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he kind of let it go. They pulled up to his house. Need your help, man. We're gonna race. I'm like,
oh, you need my help.
Well, actually, he didn't come. It was Snake and everybody else who came. And then when he saw Jack in the race, they kind of like, all right, bro, let's win this shit.
You know, he probably was like, maybe if we go over here and ask him, man, y'all go ask him you want to. I ain't going
to. Yeah, he's probably like, still tight. Nah, man, I don't want him messing with my sister.
And then when he showed up, like, all right, he with us. You know, it's like.
Oh, when he helped him, help Jack, because Jack had failed or got knocked down. He grabbed his hand and said, let's go win this thing. And I was like, I guess. I mean, it's a 91-minute movie. Take away maybe the opening, you know, scene and the ending. Probably like in what 80 minutes, probably.
You know, 75, 80 minutes.
Yeah, it says 91 minutes, and usually my theory has always been once it's 90, if a 90 minute movie usually don't hit, they usually don't hit, and they usually are stretched out for a specific reason because they couldn't. And I think that's why that final race was so long because they couldn't quite get to that 90 minute mark and they wanted to get there.
Like some of them car movies from the 70s, like
movies. Oh, when they throw all that stock footage in there, and it's just like, oh my god, stop! Random stock footage.
Like you ever seen the original Gone in 60 Seconds?
Mm-mm.
The movie is an hour and a half long, and that chase scene at the end is like 45 minutes long.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It's like, what the hell? So it's got like this here. But, I mean, well, let me ask you this. How would you, what if, like, put yourself in Mitch situation. You gotta leave from where you live in to go move with your cousins in the Midwest, like.
Another thing. He hasn't seen his cousins since they were babies. So they really don't have no.
They don't know each other.
Yeah, they don't really have to know each other.
Yeah. So it was like him getting, he just getting to know everybody.
Right.
But do you think that you would adapt to it, or would you kind of be like, man, I'm here for 6 months. All right.
I don't know. I can understand Mitchell's, I don't want to say being distant, but I can see him feeling a certain type of way because it's your whole school year. I'm not sure. Was this his senior year or junior?
Well, they never specified it.
I'm going to guess to say maybe it's his junior or senior year. So I can kind of be like, oh, man, what the fuck? I'm being Cincinnati and, you know, all the girls here. I'm sure, you know, he was getting in California. I'm just like, I guess. Yeah, I probably would have, you know what I mean, issues too. We'd be dealing with certain things in Cincinnati because I'm not from Cincinnati, so it's gonna be different for me. And especially if, like, I haven't visited my cousin since, you know, we don't know each other, so it's gonna be double hard because I'm trying to live with you, get used to this school and get used to these people, and try to get to know my cousin who I haven't seen in years,
and my offbeat aunt and uncle that because all of you caught this after the boys showed up. Then the aunt told the uncle, "Oh, I'm feeling kind of frisky, huh?"
Like, yeah. What? Yeah, I think the father was like, "Oh, you know, I guess."
Man, that lady had that man in a blender.
Yeah,
didn't know what he was doing.
Like I said, Airborne. I believe if you ever want to see Airborne, all you have to do is DM me, and I'll send you to a place, or, you know, I'll let you see. If you got my Twitter, you know my Twitter, Jeff versus the World. Just DM me. I'll send it to you. You know, it's all good. I just think that, I don't know. I think it's one of those films, like you said, that got lost in time for whatever reason. But I just hear people talk about it, and it's, they talk about it fondly. Like, I never heard nobody say, oh, that movie was shit. Like, I would never talk, because I know exactly what the movie was. It was for, it was for the high schooler. You know, at the time, it was for the kids at that time, people that age that time. So I got it. I understood it. So it was a sense of like, oh, this is a time capsule for me. And I think 93. Yeah, I was like a freshman. Yeah, I think I was like a freshman. So. Yeah, I understood. I definitely understood.
And I ain't gonna look. Well, before we get off here, around that time, I actually did have like a little phase where I got into rollerblading.
Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with that, man. Look, man, I got into all that stuff. I had a BMX bike. I had my skateboard. I was doing all that kind of wild, crazy shit. Not at that time. I think right before my in middle school, I was really into that shit. And I was just, yeah, because a lot of people that I around, we had like skateboards and stuff like that. And then, you know, I just went to bikes, and when you were souping up your bike to do certain stuff. And I was like, yeah, I was into that shit heavy. I was watching ESPN and seeing like contests and stuff like that. So I got it. I might not have been deep into it to the point of, in the culture of speaking the lingo, but we was doing our thing, you know, in a neighborhood and stuff like that. But I don't know. It's just like, I wish, there's just certain things I wish about this movie. I wish this movie was, I really wish that it was like streaming. That's what I really wish. I really wish that it would have had a Blu-ray, you know, maybe it would, I don't know. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know. It's weird how they pick and choose what gets made, you know what I mean? To Blu-rays and, we'll get the 4K. I get certain stuff. Yeah, like it's going to 4K, right? Like, Of course, like Goodfellas. Like, of course you're going into 4K. Of course Godfather's going to be in 4K. But it's then when they like, oh, we'll put Teen Witch in 4K. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, what made you, you know what I mean? But I know that's a cult classic. I know Teen Witch is a cult classic because, hell, I watched Teen Witch. I like the movie. For what it was.
Okay, I'll throw this out there to you. You think they should remake this?
Ooh, remaking it? You know what they would do now. They would make this shit a hard R. Instead of instead of all this shit, it'll be boxing or some shit. No, Airborne. Let me see. It'll be skating. It'll be skateboard or something. I think they could remake it, but I think it'll be like for Hulu.
Yeah, and
they
get who?
Don't ask me.
Jack Harlow to show up.
Stop it.
You know, I still ain't watched that.
Don't.
I can play it though.
Yeah, I mean, don't. Not even, I'm telling you, don't, as far as, even if you're curious, just remember, oh, Jeff told me don't. Don't.
Oh, no. The trailer told me everything I need to know.
It's not even that. It's just, my thing about remakes has always been what it's been. We talked about this. Same thing with House Party. Why did you have to name it House Party? It goes with this movie too. Why did you have to name it White Man Can't Jump? Because they pretty much, nothing's, you know what I mean? Nothing's familiar other than a white guy, a black guy, and they playing basketball. All the storylines within, with the, you know, their relationships and with the women and stuff are all different. So I was like, oh, okay, you took the best thing about them was the chemistry and the basketball and just named the White Man Can't Jump, because what you wanted to do was get all those people who love the original to watch it too, and get the new people, you know, the younger people to see Jack Harlow and whoever else you had in the film. And it just didn't work. You could have named this Huckabuck and Finn, and you know what I mean? It's still been the same movie, pretty much.
Yeah. So, but they could have, but like I say, with this, like I say, if they said Today or Tomorrow, doing a reboot, remake of Airborne, I'm like, oh, word? Okay. Let's see how that going to go.
Oh, the speech class, the teacher, that was the director, I believe. The director or the writer. I can't remember what I read. I think it was either the director or the writer. I was like, okay, I get it. And if I'm leaning towards, I believe it was the writer.
Okay, that would make sense. Speech class, the
writer. Yeah. You're right. But he was probably just smiling, watching everybody say his lines. He's probably just giddy.
Oh, my God. Well, at least they ain't like your boy who did Blown Away.
Man, stop hating on Blown Away, the first episode.
I'm just saying, your boy, that writer was kind of filthy.
Hey, man, listen, if you don't know what we're talking about, go back and try to find Bad Meaning Bad or Bad Meaning Good episode one. It's iconic. For this, for what we do here, it's iconic because it set the stage to what you hear now. And I know you don't hear me every month, and I know you don't hear Jay every month, but it set the stage for everything that's going. Whatever episodes you enjoy of Bad Meaning Bad, Bad Meaning Good, it all started with that silly ass movie that me, Jay, and Chanel did. It was a great time. That was I'll never forget that night. That night was so fun because it was just like I got to get y'all to watch a movie that you never would have watched if I never told you about it. I would have never brought y'all into that world. You would just been like, what? It was fun.
I didn't even know the movie existed.
Right? I mean, like, we can keep talking about this movie, but, you know, you pretty much heard us, like, say pretty much the bits and stuff. It's basically, hey, you can always overcome your hardships. You can always make new friends. You know what I mean? But you got to be open to the possibilities, because Mitchell Goosen was never open to really Cincinnati. He never was. So he figured, I'll just ride my shit out for 6 months and I'm going to be okay. But things start happening. Life start happening. You meet a girl. You like a girl. You got to open up. Even though it's some of that goofy shit he was talking about, Gandhi and all that wild shit with her, I was like, bruh, What? Yeah, you just got it.
Like, right?
Huh?
You know who you were sounding like?
Oh, who was he sounding like?
You were sounding like Bodie.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah, you're right. This is probably the prequel of Bodie. Because he was talking some goofy shit, too. But it's just one of these movies where it's like, nah, man, you know, you could be all right. And, you know, you don't have to bully people. You know, it was kind of like a lot of messages in it. But
yeah.
Give people a chance. People make mistakes. Like, you know, it's a lot. You know, keep yourself open to the possibilities. Who would have known Mitchell Goosen would enjoy Cincinnati? Who would have known that he would have found the young lady that, you know, he likes? And that he would enjoy being in Cincinnati because, you know, you may can't surf, but you can skate. And the skate scene was heavy. Did you notice that? Like, when he did that little, I guess the snow had died down, and he went skating around the neighborhood, and then all of a sudden you got all these other skaters and BMX people. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, he
ran up on some kids. It's like, all right, let me jump in here with y'all.
Yeah, he like found his community. I'm like, oh yeah, this is him right here. And he would jump down all them damn steps. They were like, yo, shit, you the man. I'm like, oh shit, I thought for sure he's gonna get hit by a bus when he got to the end. That was some right? Fine destination shit. Because he damn sure won't pay attention. Or either motherfucking Jack would have came and hit him with a car or some shit.
Right.
Stay out my lane, nerd. But as we always do, Jay, I'm going to ask you the question that always got to be asked here. Is Airborne 1993 bad meaning bad or bad meaning good?
It is bad meaning good. Because it's a nice, like I say, it's a 90-minute movie that you're not supposed to take too serious. Like, don't go in thinking, like, it's going to be something that it's not. Just enjoy the ride. For what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you get to see a few known actors like early on in their career.
Yes, and yes.
Some people that you'll never see again, like Shane McDermott. You know, and they just, you know, it's a teen movie. It's a early 90s teen movie. That's what it is.
Yeah, this is Shane McDermott's only film. He went to do some soap operas and some TV shows, but as far as films, this was it. And I can probably see him like going to TV, but I just think he never quite found the right TV show. He got out of the game. He seemed like he's happy. He's married, 2 kids. So shout out to Shane McDermott. I mean, you did your thing in this movie. Like I said, you know, nobody's expecting him to come in and be Pacino, but he did. He was serviceable in this film, especially in a teenager film that basically, you know what I mean? Everybody is kind of like trying to find themselves, especially when it comes to acting. But what I will ask you this. I told you my MVP of the film. Who was your MVP of the film?
My MVP of the film, because I know we said Seth Green.
Yeah, for me, it's Seth.
And I have to say Seth Green, too, because he kind of has I want to say the tougher role to play, but he actually kind of goes, he actually deals with a little bit more than what Mitchell deal with. I mean, he's trying to fit in with people, even though he's looked at as the nerd and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He don't really know how to deal with the girls, but then when Mitch show up, it's like, it kind of brings him out of whatever funk that he was in, because Mitchell shows up, he gets a girl, he got the car, you know, and everything. So it's like, I'm pretty sure like after this and everything, now he got a girlfriend, they going out and everything. It's like, yeah, we cool, everybody cool now. So it's like, Mitch basically helped him a lot more than, Mitchell needed any type of help. Or, you know, just, yeah, he just embraced the community, but Mitchell was, he was good at skating. He was good at hockey. He was good, you know, and all this stuff. So he was kind of popular for the wrong reason. But then he became likable. Everybody started to like
him. Yeah,
he
was super standoffish in the beginning.
Yeah, whereas with Wiley, it's like, get out of here, nerd. Like, we don't like you like that. Stop trying to fit in. But now it's like after everything, and you know, it's like, okay, now he's a part of us, and which is kind of crazy because you've been there your whole life.
Right.
Now they finally accept
and the trailer was misleading. Me, his cousin's friends. His what? No, they were bullying this man. What are you talking about? Yeah.
they got stuck to his damn locker. Like, come on. But yeah, it has to be Seth Green. Seth Green is the MVP.
All right, so let the folks know where they can follow you, what you got going on, because, you know, you're the man when it comes to this movie stuff. Let them know.
I put it like this. July has kind of been a off month for me. But you can follow me, of course, on that app that we still call Twitter, even though it got the DX sign up there now. That's all about. But you can still follow me on that. Formerly Bird app, at the J Giles. That's my personal account. That's where I tweet from the most. Of course, with the whole movie talk thing that I have going on, which is a part of my TV Zone podcast network. Wherever you listen to Jeff's shows and everything, whatever apps you listen to his shows on, you can find TV Zone podcast network on there as well. But to make it even easier, you can go to the website, www.tvzonepodcastnetwork.com. where you can find all the movie talk episodes. Got the football show that's going to be coming back soon. That's hosted by someone else, Moneymaker Chris, who also I do a baseball show, Grand Slam Podcast over there as well. And I got some TV shows I'm trying to line up to, you know, kind of pad some stuff out with, because we don't know how long this this strike going to go on. So I'm kind of going to dig into the crate of like shows that might have been lost in time a little bit. I don't know. I might like go back and kind of start, you know, maybe not doing full series, but maybe do like a pilot episode, or, you know, just do like an overview talking about a certain TV show or something like that. So I'm still trying to figure out how exactly I want to do that, but that's kind of what I'm going to have going forward. Well, on top of the movie stuff, of course.
Okay. Yeah, as far as this goes, by the time y'all hear this, you should be listening to our current episode, Four Brothers. Me and Shahid had a good time on Hood Classics doing that. And then next week for Hood Classics, we will be doing JD's Revenge, which this has been on the hit list for a minute, and we finally going to get to it. I'm just excited to see how Shahid receives this movie, because I think that's going to set the tone for the show. But yeah, you want to follow me, you can follow me on social media, Jeff versus the World. And you know, it's almost that time again. We almost at 200 episodes, and it's for Hood Classics and anniversary for Hood Classics. It's been a rise. I think everything going to kind of hit in October pretty soon. Like I said, on Hood Classics, the 800 number will be back up. So y'all could, well, not 800 number, but the show's phone number would be up, so y'all can leave a message, you know, which favorite episodes, what you like, anything like that. So this has been me and Jay for the month of July. I believe I will be taking over August as well. I have no earthly idea what movie I'll be doing, or maybe somebody else might come in and take over for me and I don't have to do it, because I really love for all my other friends to have at it, do their thing, because I, you know, do Hood Classics and I do the wrestling show. Sometimes I don't want to be behind the microphone, and I just like to hear my friends talk about movies. So we'll see how that play out. But we hope you enjoyed this episode. Like I said, this was Airborne 1993. Until next time, we are gonna get up out of here. Peace.